This is episode number 83 with data science consultant Emma White.
Welcome to the Super Data Science Podcast. My name is Kirill Eremenko, data science coach and lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you inspiring people and ideas to help you build your successful career in data science. Thanks for being here today, and now let's make the complex simple.
Hello and welcome back to the Super Data Science Podcast. Super excited to have you on board. And today we've got an interesting guest, Emma White, who is the head of Center of Excellence and Customer Advocacy at the Information Lab. So the two main things you need to know about this podcast is that Emma never actually studied anything technical. So she came from a background in history and politics, and now she's rocking it in the world of data science. So that's going to be very inspiring to learn about. And the second thing is that what Emma actually does. So Emma started off by providing consulting services in the space of Tableau and Alteryx, and now her role has grown and developed over time. So her career is progressing, and slowly she's moving to a more strategic, I would say, consulting point in her career, where she is helping clients implement data-driven business decisions in their companies and data-driven culture. So shift from the old-fashioned way of thinking about business to the new way of thinking about business. And in this podcast, you'll learn not only how she does that, but also why it is so important in this day and age for companies to do that. So that's what we talked about on the show, and I can't wait for you to check it all out. Without further ado, I bring to you Emma White from the Information Lab. Welcome everybody to the Super Data Science Podcast. Today we've got an exciting guest, Emma White, on the show, who's the head of Center of Excellence and Customer Advocacy at the Information Lab. Hi Emma, welcome on the show. How are you today?
Hi Crow, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you so much. And you're calling in from just 30 miles north of London, is that right?
Yeah, that's right, in Hertfordshire.
Yeah, and it was funny, actually just mentioned to Emma that her title is so long it should have an abbreviation. It's Head of Center of Excellence and Customer Advocacy. What do you do, Emma, at the Information Lab with a title like that?
Well, I'll take recommendations for a shorter title because it is quite long. but what that boils down to is I help our customers. So I work with our customers to train them up, so to make sure they've got all the best skills in Tableau and Alteryx, the two products that we work with. Mm-hmm. And I'm there to help guide them through their rollout of these pieces of software and to help them move to a data-driven culture as well as an organization.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very, very interesting. And we've actually already had, so for our listeners, we've already had one guest from the Information Lab on the show, and that was Rachel Pang, and that was a couple of episodes ago. So we already are familiar with the Information Lab, or a lot of us are already familiar with the Information Lab. But just in a nutshell, in a couple of sentences, can you give us like an overview of what the Information Lab is?
The Information Lab is a Tableau partner and an Alteryx partner, mm-hmm. and we help our customers see and understand their data. Mm-hmm. It's all about connecting to data, making it useful, creating great analysis with it, and trying to drive decision making with data.
Okay, that's really cool. That's a really cool description. And what I wanted to clarify here is that sometimes it happens on the show that we have a certain topic many times in a row. So we've had several guests on AI. Now we've already had several guests on Tableau and visualization. So I just wanted to clarify: is what you do just about visualization, or is it also about analytics?
Oh, it's definitely about analytics. So we partner with a tool called Alteryx as well. Mm-hmm. And that has some really great stuff in the box. It works really well with spatial data. It does a lot of drive time analysis. It does a lot of forecasting as well, or predictive analytics using R. Mm-hmm. So we kind of do the whole package, really.
Okay, gotcha. Totally understood. All right, well, maybe let's start with your story. So As we all know, this podcast on careers. Tell us about a bit about you, like your background. What did you study at university, and how did, or you know, what were you interested and passionate about, and how did that bring you to the career that you have now?
Yeah, so I don't really have a traditional background for an analyst. So I actually studied history and politics at university.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then I,
very
yeah.
Interesting.
And I did an MA after that in international relations.
What's an MA? Masters of Arts?
Masters of Arts, yeah,
mm-hmm.
in international relations. And I think what I learned from studying those subjects is that I just love finding out why things happen. Mm-hmm. I think I'm really inquisitive, and I really enjoyed doing the research part of my degree and in my master's as well. So coming up with my own question and exploring the answer to that, doing lots of research to find out, you know, the answer to that question.
Yeah, that's really cool. So even though you studied something completely different, and just to repeat, it's history and politics and then international relations, completely not related to data science analytics. But through that, you understood that you have a passion for being inquisitive and finding, getting to the bottom of things, finding the answers, and that is now something that you leverage in your career in analytics. Is that about right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So I went from my degree to be a researcher, and maybe it wasn't sort of data heavy, but I think the whole idea behind data science is finding answers to things as well. So I can really relate across the two.
That's a very good example. I love that. A lot of the time people who want to break into the space of data science, they have this question like, I studied something completely unrelated. How am I going to leverage my background in politics in data science? Well, maybe it's not about what you studied, but about how you studied it or how you approached it. And you know, there's always something to find in your own personality, in your traits that you can leverage to your advantage. And I'm really excited that you found this. So tell us, what was your first role in the space of data science? How did you break into data science?
So I became a researcher at a company that did a lot of surveys of people. Mm-hmm. So I actually worked a lot in the healthcare sector, so surveying doctors, mm-hmm. surveying patients through emails or phone calls. So we would write the surveys, but we would also collect all the data, so mm-hmm. collect all the responses, and then analyze them and present them back to the companies that we work for. So my sort of early introduction to data science was really collecting all of this survey data and then having to analyze it in different tools, mainly Excel, SPSS. And then I eventually kind of found Tableau as a alternative to these. So to Excel, you know, you have to copy and paste data into Excel, and then you're quite limited with what you can create, mm-hmm. sort of chart-wise. And the idea was that we wanted something interactive that we could then present to our customers to present the survey data back to them. And that's where I found Tableau and kind of went from there.
Mm, that's really cool. And I actually have some similar experience. I was doing, when we were at Deloitte, I was doing some survey analysis, and Tableau works fantastic for that, because for surveys, it's... sometimes you need more advanced visualization techniques than you can easily get in Excel. And one of them was like Likert charts that I used in Tableau. And it's even in Tableau, it takes some time to create that. It takes like a couple of hours, or if you're really good, maybe it takes you like 40 minutes or something to create a Likert diagram. But once you create it, and because it's also interactive, that really makes a huge difference. So I can totally understand. And so if anybody out there is visualizing surveys, Tableau is a very good tool for that. It's one of the, you know, big advantages that it has. So yeah, so you started using Tableau, and then what happened?
I actually went to a Tableau conference in San Diego.
Oh, wow.
It's quite a few years ago now.
That big one that they have?
Yeah, the one they have every year over in the US.
Okay, this year I think they had it in Texas.
Yeah, they had it in Austin last year, and then this year it will be in Vegas.
Okay, so it moves around, right? Because I've never been to
yeah.
conference. Well, how did you feel about it? Like, you did your company send you, or did you go by yourself?
It was part company funded, part me funded. Uh-huh. I went as a learning experience, because they have a ton of sort of hands on training sessions and sort of sessions where you can go and find out more about how Tableau works mm-hmm. at the conference. So I kind of funded it as a learning experience. But while I was there, I actually met up with Tom Brown, who set up the Information Lab, and Craig Bloodworth and Robin from the Information Lab as well.
Okay, that's really cool. And it's very inspiring that you decided for yourself that this is something I need to do, and went all the way over to San Diego. And was, of course, meeting these people was life-changing for you. But apart from that, was the conference worth it? Did you learn as much as you thought you would learn?
Yeah, definitely. I did actually a training session the day before conference. So I went out and I did a whole day on Tableau Server. Mm-hmm. And then the conference itself is just incredible. And I've been lucky to go to quite a few of them. Mm-hmm. And each time, they have a lot of the same content. So if you're a new person, you'll everything will be relevant to you. Mm-hmm. But then they also keep adding new content as well. So if you go over and over again, you'll find something new to go and see. And I think the networking is a really important part of conference as well. Just getting to meet other people who use the tool, getting to go and meet the speakers. Once they've done their session, you can go and meet up with the speakers and ask them questions. So I think that's really valuable.
That's so cool. That's so inspiring. We're actually running our own conference in November this year in San Diego for the first time ever. And just hearing you talk about how you were inspired by that conference just make me think about how many people will be inspired by our conference. And it's very, very exciting that, there are people out there who have this mindset. And, I hope you keep it up. I hope you attend, even though you're successful in what you do already, I think it's still important to keep attending events and seeing things. Do you have something in mind that you're looking forward to attending in the near future?
So I'll be back at the Tableau conference later this year in Vegas. Mm-hmm. I think when I go now, I think what I really look forward to is just catching up with people that I've not seen for a year.
Yeah.
There's people that I see once a year at conference. so I really look forward to catching up with everyone.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. And I also get invited. I'm really lucky. I'm a Tableau ambassador as well. Okay. So I get invited to some of their community events, which are really good as well.
That's really cool. Well, that's it's like you've built a whole social life around this conference and catching up with friends. That's very inspiring. Okay, cool. So there we go. That's how you got into not only Tableau, but then how you took it to the next stage, and you found out about you met Tom Brown and people from the Information Lab. And so, what happened next?
So I was lucky enough to be hired by the Information Lab. I became a Tableau consultant and learned how to use Alteryx as well. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just kind of went from there, right? I did a lot of consulting. I became a certified Tableau trainer. I did all of my Tableau certifications as well. So you can do exams with Tableau. So I did Tableau desktop and Tableau server exams. So, fully qualified to go out and do all these sorts of things as well. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so I've been there for nearly 4 years now and just learning new stuff all the time as well, because, Tableau keeps developing, Alteryx keeps developing, so you just keep learning and learning.
Yeah, no, totally agree. The tools are changing very quickly. And how did you become a Tableau ambassador? What does that even mean?
So I am a social media ambassador, which basically means I spend far too much time on Twitter. and I also have a blog as well, that I write articles about Tableau and Alteryx on there. And it just kind of came out of that, really. It's just being an active person in the Tableau community on social media.
So they reached out to you and they were like, Emma, we've seen too many visualizations from you. Here you go. Here's your Tableau ambassador title.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. Tableau, I think every so many times a year they add some new ambassadors to their program.
Uh-huh. Okay, wow, that's really cool. So I'm looking at your Twitter right now. You've got some very interesting, I haven't gone into detail on them, but some interesting visualizations here. So is it at Emma White?
That's right, yeah.
You're so lucky to get the actual name and surname combination. It wasn't taken before. Or did you have to change your surname to get it?
No, no, I didn't. I actually joined Twitter when it was very new.
Oh, okay.
So I was lucky that way.
Okay, that's really cool. All right, so Tableau ambassador, and you do you've been with the Information Lab for some time now. Tell us a bit about some of the work that you do there. Like you mentioned before we started the podcast that you really focus, you're starting to move your focus from actually working with Tableau and Alteryx to more helping companies at a more kind of strategic or cultural level to shift their thinking to a data-driven culture and data-driven business decisions. I think that's very exciting. That's a big a big consulting challenge to help companies make that shift. Tell us a bit more about the work you do.
Yeah, so I work with our customers who maybe have been using Tableau and Alteryx for a little while, but are still in that journey towards, you know, really getting a culture change. So when you go into a boardroom, you'll see dashboards and you know, executives will make decisions based on the data that they're seeing. Mm-hmm. So that's the kind of the goal of the program and how I work with customers. And that is multifaceted. So there's lots of different parts that make up that journey. Mm-hmm. So I'll go into a customer, I'll ask them lots of questions about, you know, how they're using Tableau, what's their data like? Is it in a good place? Is it well-structured? Is it easy to access? Can people get hold of it? All the way through to what skills do your staff have in Tableau? How many people use your Tableau server and consume everything that you're making? Do executives use your Tableau dashboards in meetings? So we ask lots and lots of questions about that, and then we come up with an action plan. Mm-hmm. So, you know, based on lots of knowledge and experience of working with other customers, get to a data-driven culture, and we just try and help other customers on that journey as well by giving them some action plans to think about, so to make sure that journey is successful for them.
Okay. So in that sense, when you ask all these questions, do you have like a template in mind of what they should be doing, and then you ask the questions and you're like, okay, so check off the boxes that they're doing and the rest, this is what they need to do. So or is it the case that in every situation you have to come up with a new set of activities that you think are right for this client? So basically, is your approach tailored to clients? And I know this might sound like a question with an obvious answer, but nevertheless, is there some standard blueprint that all companies in your view should be following, or minimal blueprint that they should be following in terms of data-driven, or is it always a tailored solution for your customers depending on what they're doing, what their needs are, and how they want to develop in the future?
I think it's a little bit of both. So we would use the same set of questions for every customer to give us a way to benchmark answers as well. Mm-hmm. And from the answers to those questions, the answers are ranked between like 1 and 5, like you would experience in a normal survey. The idea at 5 is, you know, the best example of a data-driven culture, and 1 is the least, you know, the worst example. And then we use the answers to those questions to come up with high priority actions. Mm-hmm. But in some companies, you know, getting to a 5 on a particular question may not always be a high priority item for them. So I guess that even though the questions that we ask would be the same, the actions that we would come up with would be tailored depending on what is important to that customer and what they can actually tackle right now.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay. Can you walk us through an example, like a sample question and sample answer and, you know, sample recommendation for that?
Yeah, sure. So when we're talking about, if we're talking about Tableau as a desktop tool that analysts are using, then there would be questions about, you know, well, what training do you offer for your analysts in Tableau? So ideally, you know, for that sort of question, they would send all of their analysts onto classroom training or do the virtual training with Tableau. Mm-hmm. And then they'd have ongoing training as well. So you don't just kind of get given the tool and then forgotten that they actually have a program for training. So I think, you know, that's probably an example that, you know, you'd hope every company would do that. You know, they would all get to the point where they have a training program in place for their staff.
Okay, cool. And then so somebody might say, oh, well, I think our we have a training program, but it's maybe like a 3 out of 5. And then you would say, oh, okay, cool. So this is what you need to do to make sure it's a 5 out of 5. And then they decide if they want to progress in that direction or not.
Yeah, exactly. So we'd have a series of questions to do with training. And we'd also probably use an end user survey as well. So actually survey the people who use Tableau on a daily basis and you know, see what they think about their training program as well.
Okay, cool. So it's like you're approaching from both ends, both the
the
top of the company and the bottom, to make sure, you know, it's consistent, the answers are consistent.
Yeah.
Okay, that's really cool. So you provide these recommendations, and do you help them actually implement these recommendations?
Yeah, so we would have regular reviews with them as well, just to see how they're getting on. You know, we don't just leave them alone with an action plan to get on with it. And we would also probably give ourselves some tasks to do as well for the customer. So, you know, we could offer to come in to do a training day or a workshop day, you know, to help them, to help them with certain things, or give them support with getting their data right, or give them support with upgrading a Tableau server environment, things like that.
Okay, cool. So I can see how this is working. I think we've made a clear understanding of how it's working, how you're doing this. Now let's talk about why. Why is it important to do this? So you mentioned two things, the business decisions and the culture. So let's talk about both. Why is it important for companies in this day and age, from your point of view, to shift to data-driven business decisions? Why can't we just keep doing things the way we were doing and, you know, just have a strategic approach, go top to bottom, not really focus on data-driven business decisions, but rather, like, I don't know, the old-fashioned way business decisions?
Yeah, so I guess old-fashioned business decisions would be with your gut, right? So you'd be like, well, I think we should do this. And, you know, in many cases, it can be that the data backs up those gut decisions. But I think in today's climate, business is really tough. You have to be competitive. You have to, you know, if you're thinking of lots of companies, try and work out where they're making lots of money, where they could maybe cut back, maybe looking at where a lot of their expenses. A lot of customers have actually found that when they've done some digging around with their data and done some data analysis, that they can save a lot of money in some areas. You know, something comes to light and they realize that they can save a lot of money in some areas as well. So I think that's why, to me, having a data-driven business is important. I think, you know, it helps you be more competitive. It helps you understand your business better as well. Whereas I think if you rely on these gut decisions, or at least go with the gut decisions without seeing if the data backs it up, you know, I think that can lead to some bad decisions.
Okay. That's interesting. And what do you think about starting a business? Should people who are considering, who are listening to this podcast and considering starting their business, have a business idea, want to become an entrepreneur, or, you know, like start some sort of venture, do you think they should start right away with business decisions being data driven? Or do you think they should start the old fashioned way and then switch to data driven business decisions at some point? What are your thoughts on that?
I think as a startup, it just makes so much sense to collect that data and analyze it from the beginning, because that's the perfect way to start. You probably don't want to start a year down the road or 2 years down the road and you've got all of this data and it's everywhere and it's messy, and now you've got to start looking at it and analyzing it. I think especially like as a startup, I think the most obvious things are, you know, looking at your finances, how much money goes in and out every month. That just seems like an obvious thing to kind of start with as well.
Okay. Do you want to do this is going to be exciting. Do you want to do a quick improv session? So I'll be like a person who wants to start a business, and you will just give me some consultation on what you think I can think about when starting a business. Do you want to do that?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, cool. So I want to start a bakery. Let's say I want to start it. I live, hypothetically, I live, let's say, San Diego, since that's come up already. And I want to start it, I want to get a loan for $100,000. I want to put the bakery next to my house so I don't have to walk far. And I'm going to be cooking bagels, and, you know, they're going to be vegetarian. And yeah, and that's my gut instinct. That's what I want to do. That's what I feel like doing. And I have no data-driven decisions behind that. What are your recommendations? Like, what should I consider before doing all of this?
Well, I think, you know, you should probably look at things like information about the area that you want to open the bakery up in. You could have a look at, you know, do people live there? If they do, how many people live there? Is it, do they have lots of businesses in that area that, you know, people might come on their lunch break and come to your bakery, mm-hmm. or come before work or after work? So I think there would be lots of information that you could capture or find if it's already existing out there about that area.
Even before I start the business, there's a lot of information.
Yeah, definitely, because, you know, you don't want to end up opening in the wrong place.
Okay, so kind of like market research. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then let's say I've already started the bakery and now the first customers are coming in. Things get more interesting here, right? So what kind of information would you say that I need to collect in order to better help drive my business decisions going forward?
I think you would definitely need to collect information about your sales. Mm-hmm. So, you know, how many products you're selling each day, what they're selling for. You should also collect information about what you're purchasing as well. So obviously you'll need to buy the ingredients to make mm-hmm. the bagels, and you'll need to buy equipment, and you'll probably need to maybe pay some staff as well. Mm-hmm. You know, that can give you a good idea of, you know, are you spending too much, as, you know, more than you're actually selling? What are your best selling products? Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you should stop selling because it doesn't make you any money? Mm-hmm. I think there's loads of stuff that you can start collecting.
And even like some stuff about my customers, you know, like male, female, what age, what demographic, and so on. Where do they live? What do they do for a profession? If you can get that information, like by talking to them or something like that.
Yeah.
It actually reminds me of a really cool example. I was in Lisbon like a month ago or a couple months ago in Portugal, and I went to this store, which is like a grocery store, but it's a bit more expensive because it's all natural products, all natural ingredients. And the owner there, one of the owners there, Diego, by the way, hi to Diego if he's listening to this, he had this amazing technique of collecting information. So amazing because he didn't have Tableau or any of these advanced tools, but he just had a paper and a pen. And so he had like a table where he would say, okay, so how much did you spend? How much did the person spend? You know, 0 to 20 euros, 20 to 50 euros, or 50 euros or over. And those were the column, those were the rows, and the columns were, is this person a local? Is this person a tourist? Is this person an expat? And that was his segmentation. He was doing it on a paper and pen. And that was so inspiring to see that, you know, he doesn't even have these tools such as Tableau, etc. But at the same time, he can see the value of the segmentation. So he knows, you know, who to market to, what kind of labels to put on the products, what kind of products to get into the store, what kind of prices to set, and so on. And so, like, that's a great example of somebody who's just started a business and is already seeing the value of data-driven business decisions.
Yeah, that's a great example. You can't really underestimate the power of pen and paper for data analysis as well.
Yeah, totally. Okay, well, thank you for that. That's even though it might sound obvious to a lot of listeners, like a lot of people don't really think about those things or rush into business, or, you know, if you extrapolate that into a bigger picture, you can see how these like data-driven business decisions are important. So now let's talk about culture. So you mentioned that part of your role is to transition businesses to a data-driven culture. What does that mean and why is it important?
I think that a lot of businesses that have been around for a long time may not realize that data is a really important part of their business. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of the tools that we use to visualize data are fairly new. And I think that because they're still fairly new, a lot of the time they're not including in sort of a decision-making process. Mm-hmm. You may find, especially in large organizations, that they do have BI teams, and they, you know, their job is to respond to questions, you know, requests for information from different parts of the business. But quite often they can be easily overlooked as well. So the changing the culture may mean shifting the importance of the BI department as well. It may be that, you know, they end up being asked into really high level meetings to, you know, answer questions in the meeting mm-hmm. on the fly. Mm-hmm. And it could just be that, you know, they get their work seen by executives. Mm-hmm. You know, quite often that maybe sort of middle managers would see see dashboards or see data on a regular basis, because, you know, they're reporting to the executives, but actually the executives don't always kind of look at those reports themselves. So it's all about kind of changing the mindset of how companies may make decisions. It's about making that data analysis work visible across the organization as well, and making sure that people who don't really spend a lot of time with data, it's also about educating them about how to understand data and how to, you know, look at a dashboard and start interacting with it and answering their own questions.
Okay, that's pretty interesting description. And do you get a lot of pushback from people who, you know, you approach and you want to help them understand data better, but they just say, no, this is not something I've been doing, I don't need this in my role, you know, leave me alone, that type of thing? Do you get a lot of pushback, or do you find that it's pretty straightforward and easy and people are accepting?
Yeah, I think you can get pushback. You can get pushback because, you know, people think, oh, it's just another job for me to do. Mm-hmm. It's just something else I've got to look at. Yeah. I don't have time for that. Mm-hmm. I think when you come across people like that, the important message is, you know, how can this dashboard, how can this data visualization make their job easier?
Yeah.
You know, how can it, you know, they probably have something that they have to produce on a regular basis, you know, some report or you know, some questions that they need to answer all the time. And I always think it's important to go, well, how can we make that easy for you? How can we get you to look at this one dashboard and it answers all of your questions?
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's really cool. So you kind of want to promote self-serve analytics into the company, right? So that they can not only be just in the dark, like not only help them not be in the dark, but also help them to be able to get these answers themselves rather than always asking somebody for help and asking somebody for a report or something like that. Generally it's usually a good idea, because that means, like, as you mentioned, more people have visibility of what's going on, more people can come up with ideas on how to improve things and make things work better. So yeah, that's pretty cool. And do you find that people, once you promote this culture, that people, once they get it, they become inspired and then they start helping each other and promoting the culture within the company? Do you find that you create this like viral effect, that once, you know, 3-5 people know about this and then they start telling their friends and they start telling their friends or inside the company colleagues and so on, and it's much easier to move that change?
Yeah, definitely. I think it helps massively when you have buy-in from leadership as well. Mm. I think you see the biggest change when you know, a leader of a company or even a department of a large company really gets the importance of data and data visualization, that it's just so easy for them to make that sort of culture shift, to make that change. But, you know, even if you don't see that sort of high level buy-in straight away, I think the best thing that you can do is just go around to someone's desk and, you know, show them something that you've made and show them how it can help them with their day-to-day job. Mm-hmm. I think that working from the bottom up also works as well. You just have to work a bit harder maybe.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's interesting. So do companies mostly come to you for the business decisions part of things, data-driven business decisions, or for data-driven culture?
I think they kind of go hand in hand. So yeah, I think they have to kind of work alongside each other. I don't think you can really do much with just data-driven decision-making if you're not changing the culture of the business at the same time.
And the other way around, right? So if you've got data-driven culture, what's the point of it if you're not driving your decisions based on that?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, cool. Okay, so we talked about the business decisions being data-driven and the culture being data-driven. And out of all of the work you do right now as a data scientist, what would you say is your biggest challenge that you face or you have faced in the recent past?
I think for me, my biggest challenge, because I don't have that sort of data background or an IT background or a maths background, my biggest challenge was learning how to work with data. Mm-hmm. And learning how to reshape it and clean it up and manipulate it and stuff like that.
Okay, Yeah, that's a very interesting one. So how did you go about learning that? Because I can imagine without an IT background, that could be quite challenging. What were the steps that you took?
I taught myself some SQL, so I did a couple of online courses to learn some SQL. I also so at the Information Lab we use a tool called AllTracks, which helps you work with data. It can transform data, it can clean it up, it can do all sorts of things with data. And I had to use that for my job, but I would also in my spare time find data sets that I found interesting as a bit of a hobby. So at one point I was kind of training for a marathon, so I had all of this sort of running data from RunKeeper. There's been other data sets that were really interested in film, so just kind of getting sort of film databases and just working with them in my spare time to create to play around with data and just to create things as well.
Okay, that's really cool. So you learned mostly through your own hobbies and through your own kind of applications and while having fun. That's the best way to learn, isn't it? While you're actually enjoying what you're doing, you're like, oh wow. What did you learn about your running? Like, can you share something interesting that you learned from all that visualization?
Yeah, so I kind of learned that while I was marathon training, I was probably actually training a bit too hard. So I learned that from the data that I was, my heart rate was really, really high and I was just pushing myself too hard, too fast. And I probably would have got injured if I didn't actually look at that data and go, actually, I need to slow it down a little bit when I'm running.
Wow, that sounds like a sci-fi movie. It's like you prevented your own injury. Like, what was that movie called with Tom Cruise? The Minority Report, right? When they prevent crimes based on like flashbacks that these people have. So similar to that, like you prevented your own injury, saved yourself time, and costly hospital bills and stuff like that. That's really cool. More people
Yeah, I
should
mean
do.
it's something that football teams do a lot with data tracking. They track the health of their players and how hard they've been training and things like that.
Yeah, but football teams have like money and analysts
Yeah.
sitting there doing, you just did it for yourself. Like people should do this more often. Like people listening to this podcast should go and download Tableau and just look at their running, eating, sleeping, other habits and see how they can help prevent things or improve their lifestyle. This is really inspiring. This is really cool. Okay, so that was an interesting challenge. And what would you say is a your biggest breakthrough that you've had in this in your career? Like obviously transitioning from something completely different to data science, that's it's a huge step. And among all these things that you've learned, that you've the tools that you've mastered, the jobs that you've had, what would you say has been your biggest breakthrough and biggest life-changing event that has happened in your career?
I think it was becoming a trainer in Tableau. So I'm not particularly fond of getting up in public in front of people and speaking, but being a trainer and training other people in a classroom really breaks down that fear. You're up in front of people for, I teach 2 day courses, so I'm up in front of a group of people for 2 days, teaching them how to use Tableau. And I think that was a really big challenge for me.
Okay, that yeah, of course that would be quite I don't know, even stressful if you're not used to teaching. Like I remember my first courses that I was teaching online, and even it, whenever I've been on stage, you're always nervous and presenting and speaking to people. And so why did you decide to do that and like push yourself out of your comfort zone?
It's something that I really enjoy. I really enjoy helping other people. So I think and training became the best part of my job. Because although it is scary to get up in front of those people, at the end of the 2 days, at the end of the course, when someone's connecting Tableau to their own data and making really great stuff with it, that is such a great feeling. It's worth the fear and the anxiety of kind of getting up in front of people for that.
And would you say the fear is slowly becoming less with time as you do this more and more?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. I think it's just that those first few classes are the worst ones, and then it just gets easier.
Okay, well, they're the worst ones in terms of fear, but at the end of the day, 2 days, did you get terrible feedback from the people who attended, or was actually pretty okay at the end of the day?
No, it was good feedback. Yeah, it was good feedback.
So that's like to those listening out there, if you're thinking of doing some things, but you're like stopped by this fear of the first day or the first time you do it, it actually turns out very well, or turns out much better than you think it will, even for the first time. So there's nothing to be afraid of. You just go and get started and do it. And that's very inspiring. So where can, you know, our listeners sign up for these classes? Like, are you doing them in London?
Yeah, so I do them for our customers, but I also sometimes do some of the Tableau public sessions as well. So if you ever sign up for the public sessions of Tableau training, then you might get one of us as a teacher as well.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well, it's too bad you just do them for clients. You should start doing this for just people who want to attend from around the area. I think that would be very cool. But, you know, maybe that's kind of like in the future, next step at some point.
Yeah.
That'd be very cool. Okay, so that's definitely a big breakthrough in terms of what you've been doing. And what would you say is your one most favorite thing about being a data scientist and being in this space?
I think for me, it's the constant new challenges. So this industry is just changing all the time. The software gets, you know, updated all the time. You can do new things with it, so you're just constantly learning. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what really gets me going. And you know, I'd hate to be in a job where I did the same thing every day for you know, for years and years and years. This one just keeps you interested.
Yeah, totally agree. And I had an interesting question for you. So like, we've been hearing more and more about machine learning and artificial intelligence. And I've actually spoken to a couple of guests about this, that, you know, that's the future of where data science is going, and where all of these, ultimately these data-driven businesses will end up with artificial intelligence. And on the other hand, what you're doing is in a different space of data science. It's more visualization and analytics. What do you think about that? Is artificial intelligence something that is going to replace Tableau and replace all analytics functions in businesses, or do you think they can exist side by side?
I think it will probably end up existing side by side. Mm-hmm. I think there still needs to be a very human element in understanding what's going on, you know, asking the right questions, knowing context as well. I think context is a big thing. Mm-hmm. So I think that they'll exist side by side.
Okay. All right. That's definitely some great feedback, because sometimes when you hear all these things that are going on in AI, you start to be thinking like even data scientists at some point are going to be edged out. But even, you know, like I agree with you. I think they can exist side by side. And I think for it, even if AI is going to start taking over things, it's not going to happen anytime soon. It's going to happen like decades from now. So this is definitely an exciting space to be in. And there's lots of different types of data science that you can look into. And speaking of that, is there, you mentioned that you like to learn. Is there anything that you're looking forward to learning in the near future?
Yeah, I'd love to learn more about predictive modeling and using data to come up with predictions for mm-hmm. things. Mm-hmm. That would be really interesting.
Is there any particular model that you want to start with?
No, I mean, I work with Alteryx quite a lot, and they have some predictive models in there. So I'll probably start with those mm-hmm. and then see where I end up.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's really cool. And have you used R for anything, or Python?
I've dabbled a little bit with Python, but I've not looked at R yet. Mm-hmm. So they would be things I would need to learn.
Okay, are you excited about that? Like to get into a bit of programming?
Yeah, I've kind of learned a little bit of programming before. Mm-hmm. Again, self-taught, using Code Academy and things like that. And it would be really interesting to learn some more.
Okay, that's really cool. All right. And I've got an interesting question for you, like a philosophical one. From what you've seen, especially in your work with companies about data-driven culture and data-driven business decisions, where do you think this whole field of data science is going? And what do you think our listeners should prepare for to be ready for what's coming in the future?
So really interestingly, Tableau made an acquisition recently to do with natural language processing.
Oh, wow.
And I can see it coming one day where, a bit like Siri, you can ask Siri, what's the weather going to be like today? And it will give you a reply. But I kind of hope that you'll be able to do that with business questions of your data as well. So if you're in a business, you can go, you know, are my sales better this year than they were last year? And you'll just be given an answer.
That's really cool. And so do you think that's actually possible? Like, because you mentioned that context is very important to be able to ask these questions. Sometimes you need to know what's going on in the business. You need to have this domain knowledge. And how is that going to be incorporated? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think the results to those sorts of questions are, you know, they're hopefully going to be useful. Mm-hmm. But I think, especially to start with, that the kind of questions that you'll be able to ask might be a bit limited to just kind of like black and white answers. So you want a number, you want a specific value, you know, it will return that for you. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if your question gets a bit more complicated, then that's probably where you're going to need some human intervention.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And with time, it probably will get better and better and better. Yeah. And then we can be just creating dashboards by just saying stuff instead of like actually creating them ourselves. That'd be pretty cool. Okay, so we're kind of like slowly coming to the end. What would you say is your biggest kind of like suggestion or inspirational message to those listening who are like starting out into the space of data science, or maybe are already in the space of data science but want to expand into this area of analytics, data visualization, Tableau? What would you say is your biggest message that you want to share with them?
I think from my experience, it's all about doing this as a hobby as well. So really enjoying, if you're learning something new in that space, if you're learning about analytics, then do it with something that you enjoy. Find a hobby that you can maybe collect some data about and you know, start analyzing that, you know, practice your skills in that. And also really get involved with the communities that are out there as well. I don't think I would have learned half as much as I know without just reaching out and asking people, especially on Twitter and things like that. So many people who are so willing to lend some of their time to have a phone call, to answer some questions. So if you do have questions, don't be afraid to reach out to other people and ask them.
Fantastic. Love that advice. So hobby and community, guys, get involved in data science with not just work, but also your own side projects and things that you're interested in, and also don't be afraid to ask questions of the community. So thanks a lot for sharing that. How can our listeners contact you, follow you, or find you if they would like to see how your career progresses from here?
The best way to contact me or to follow me is on Twitter. Mm-hmm. So you said before, at Emma White, it's WHYTE, the end as well. But yeah, I'm always on Twitter, so you can always reach me that way.
Fantastic. And can our listeners also connect with you on LinkedIn?
Yes. Yeah, I'm on LinkedIn as well.
And you said you mentioned you have a blog. What's the blog address?
It's www.womenindata.co.uk.
Okay. That's really cool. And what do you talk about on the blog?
So it's mainly Tableau. I do a weekly workout Wednesday with Andy Kriebel from the Information Lab as well. Okay. So it's every Wednesday on mine or Andy's blog, we'll set you a challenge and you have to try and remake what we send out in Tableau. Mm-hmm.
Okay, fantastic. So make sure, guys, to follow Emma on Twitter. It's Emma White with YTE on the end. Thanks a lot, Emma. And one more question for you today. What is the one book that you can recommend to our listeners to help them become better at what they do?
I would recommend Signal by Stephen Few.
Why is that?
It's all about how to find those signals from noise in data. Mm-hmm. So going on that journey of uncovering some really interesting facts in a data set.
Interesting. I haven't heard of that book before. Is it a recent book?
It is quite recent. I think it came out. It came out in 2015.
Okay, cool. Signal by Stephen Few. All right, guys, check it out. And once again, thank you so much, Emma, for coming on the show and sharing your story and some insights with us. It was a great pleasure having you on.
It's great to be on. Thanks very much.
So there you have it. That was Emma White from the Information Lab. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Quite a lot of interesting insights. And personally, my favorite was the way that Emma leveraged her prior experience in what she does now. So as Emma described, she came from a background in history and politics, and she never actually studied anything technical. And nevertheless, she found a way to leverage her education, her degrees in what she does now. And it wasn't about what she studied, it was about how she studied. She focused on her passion for getting to the bottom of things, for being analytical, for understanding the truth behind things. And that's what helps her be successful in data science. So think about your own background, like whether it's technical or not technical. Maybe there's something else that you're missing, something that you were always good at or were always passionate about that you are not yet leveraging in your career in data science, and maybe that can give you your next push forward. And of course, make sure to follow Emma on her LinkedIn. So it's at Emma White, W-H-Y-T-E. Be careful there, it's a Y, not an I. Make sure to follow Emma there, connect with her on LinkedIn, and check out her blog. So it's womenindata.co.uk, woman with an A. And of course, you can get all of these links and the show notes and the transcript at www.superdatascience.com/83. And on that note, we're going to wrap up today. Very excited for having you here. Thank you so much. And I look forward to seeing you next time. Until then, happy analyzing.